thumbs up all around. That's good. Let's pray. Dear Father, we thank you for this time to come and meet, and that we can meet like this. It's hard to believe it's 40 weeks we've been meeting online like this, but we thank you for the time that we've been able to have continuing to meet as you encourage us to do in your word. And we just want to pray for Dawn right now and Heather as she heads over to the hospice to be with Dawn, and pray for strength for him. And we just pray for you to give him the peace of knowing your promises. And thank you so much for Heather and Dawn's marriage and the light they are to the world. And we pray for Sherry Lynn too, that you would also give her strength and that she would be able to rest in the assurance of your goodness to her and your love for her. And thank you again for Ian and Sherry Lynn's marriage and how they support one another and bring glory to your name. And as we meet this morning, we just pray that you would open up your word and speak to us and have us learn what it means to trust in your promises and to trust in your grace and to know your goodness towards us. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, good morning, everyone. This message is meant to be kind of a New Year's message, even though it's the 27th today. And I think if we were to look at 2020 in review, that there's a lot of things that we could lament. You know, in 2019, this little virus surfaced called COVID-19, and nobody knew or nobody really cared on this side of the planet what it was and what it could possibly do to us until March of 2020, and how that flipped our world upside down. And here we are, showing that we are still meeting online 40 weeks later. In May, we had the death of George Floyd, which became a symbol of racial oppression and systemic oppression throughout the world. And that's just on the world scene. Of course, we each have our personal lives and things that may have been blessings or blessings in disguise in our personal lives. And so 2020 was maybe a tough year for the world and maybe for each one of us. Thinking of my last three Christmases, I think because of my school schedule, I often end up speaking at this time of the year. And I think last year I was sharing with Parkrest that 2 years ago, we were rehearsing and preparing for the Christmas play. And then on our way home with the whole family in the car, we got to the four-way stop right by our house. And went through the four-way stop and then got T-boned in the car just as we were 200 meters from home. Got hit not too badly, but enough to shake us up a little bit and to total the car. And that was after preparing for the Christmas play. And then last year, we were over at Nate and Manita's house on that very same weekend, not the same day, but the exact same weekend. And as we came home, we realized that both of us had left our keys inside the house. And so as we were trying all the doors, I thought, okay, I'm just going to do this quickly. I'm going to put the ladder up against the house. I'm going to go in through the bedroom window and get into the house and go open the door for everybody. Well, the bedroom window would not open for me. And in fact, the ladder would not stay standing for me either. And I slipped down, the ladder slipped out from underneath me, and I landed both feet on the rung, 10 or 15 feet down, and broke one foot and sprained the other foot on that very same weekend. So I said, when I was preaching last year, I said, next year I'm staying home. Well, little did I know, I'm staying home all these weekends. Yeah, along with all of you staying home too. So here we are. Who knew? Who knew what 2020 would look like? And I think now there's a lot of anticipation for 2021 in social media. Everyone's saying, oh, 2021 is going to be better. And I want us to ask ourselves this morning as we look at a passage here, What is God's vision for 2021 for the world? What is God's vision for 2021 for my life, for your life? And in choosing what passage to read, we were thinking, if Jesus were to be born on December 25th, which probably he was not, but if he were born on December 25th, 8 days later, if it was in the nighttime, 8 days later would be January 1st. And that would be the day that Jesus would have been circumcised. And so we're actually going to carry on reading the rest of that account of what we usually read around Christmas time. And I believe we did last week. And you may be thinking of Charlie Brown's Christmas and how Linus read those verses that Andrew shared with us earlier about glory to God on the highest and on peace and on earth, peace and goodwill toward men. We're going to carry on where in Luke chapter 2, where Mary and Joseph bring Jesus up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord and meet some people who really had an idea of what God's vision is. And so that's my hope, that today we can think about what God's vision is for our lives, for our lives, for Jesus' life when he was on earth, for God's plan of salvation. And just before I read the passage, I want to read from this book. Anya got me the pictorial biography of Winston Churchill for my birthday, and I've been reading through that. And I just want to read a little conversation that Winston Churchill apparently had when he was 16 years old with a classmate, and it goes like this. It says, "Will you go into the army?" I asked, I being the classmate. This is from the classmate's perspective. "Will you go into the army?" I asked. "I don't know. It is probable, but I shall have great adventures beginning soon after I leave here." "Are you going into politics, following your famous father?" "I don't know, but it is more than likely, because, you see, I'm not afraid to speak in public. You do not seem at all clear about your intentions or your desires." "That may be, but I have a wonderful idea of where I shall be eventually. I have dreams about it." "Where is that?" I inquired. "Well, I can see vast changes coming over a now peaceful world. Great upheavals, terrible struggles, wars such as one cannot imagine. And I tell you, London will be in danger. London will be attacked, and I shall be very prominent in the defense of London." "How can you talk like that?" I said. "We are forever safe from invasion since the days of Napoleon." "I see further ahead than you do. I see into the future. This country will be subjected somehow to a tremendous invasion. By what means, I do not know. But," warming up to his subject, "I tell you, I shall be in command of the defenses of London, and I shall save London and England from disaster." "Will you be a general, then, in command of the troops?" "I don't know. Dreams of the future are blurred, but the main objective is clear. I repeat, London will be in danger, and in the high position I shall occupy, it will fall to me to save the capital and save the empire." And just, I don't know how true this account is of this friend of his, Merlin deGrasse Evans, but it seems that Winston Churchill had a very clear vision of where his life was going. And we all know how important he was in World War II to Britain and to the whole world in their fight against fascism. But as we read the passage today, and as we think about the passage today, I hope that we can also think about what's God's vision for us. So let's go into Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2, starting in verse 21, and I'll read to verse 40. I'm reading from the North American Standard Bible, verse 21. "And when 8 days had passed before his circumcision, his name was then called Jesus, the name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. And when the days for their purification, according to the law of Moses, were completed, they brought him up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male that opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord. And to offer a sacrifice according to what was said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. And there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And this man was righteous and devout, looking for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came in the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to carry out for him the custom of the law, then he took him into his arms and blessed God and said, "Now, Lord, you are releasing your bondservant to depart in peace, according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the presence of all people, a light of revelation to the Gentiles, and the glory of your people Israel." And his father and mother were amazed at the things which were said about him. And Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, "Behold, this child is appointed for the fall and rise of many in Israel, and for a sign to be opposed. And a sword shall pierce even your own soul, to the end that thoughts from many hearts may be revealed." And there was a prophetess, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was advanced in years and had lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage, and then as a widow to the age of 84. She never left the temple, serving night and day with fastings and prayers. At that very moment, she came up and began giving thanks to God and continued to speak of him to all those who were looking for the redemption of Jerusalem. Then when they had performed everything according to the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee, to their own city of Nazareth. The child continued to grow and become strong, increasing in wisdom. The grace of God was upon him. I want to look at these three sets of people, first Mary and Joseph, then Simeon, and then Anna, the prophetess, and how they saw God's vision and understood what his vision was. So first is Mary and Joseph. And we see right from the start that they are trying to be obedient to God. That's what they want. They want to follow God's design for their life. And so when it comes to naming the child, we see that they name him Jesus, which means God saves, of course. And they're listening to what the angel told them to do. They're also trying to fulfill the law by following the custom of circumcision. And then Mary would go into a time of cleansing. She would be unclean after giving birth to a son. And for 33 days, from as told in Leviticus 12, she would be in a period of cleansing. And then they'd be ready to bring the baby to the temple in Jerusalem to present to the Lord. And it would not be a short, sorry, not right now, just, okay. And then these 33 days afterwards, they would bring the baby to Jerusalem. And it's a journey of 4 days. They would have to travel with a newborn baby 4 days. It's a 2-hour drive, but they didn't have a car. And so they would travel for 4 days to get to Jerusalem to present the baby to the Lord. And what a beautiful thing that is, that they would bring this child of God to present to God. And I think it's really a picture of how we should offer up our lives. He's given us our lives, and we can offer it back to him too. We offer our lives back to him, and also to offer a sacrifice. Now, in Leviticus 12, it says that the sacrifice would be a lamb. Or if you do not have a lamb to present, then 2 young pigeons or turtle doves. And it tells us perhaps about their economic status, that Mary and Joseph are not rich. And they're bringing, the account here in Luke 2 says that they would bring 2 pigeons or turtle doves. And their attitude in the Gospel of Luke here is of obedience to the Lord. Despite what kind of persecution there may have been, who knew what kind of things people were saying about them, that she was pregnant, Mary was pregnant before the marriage, and what they could have been saying about Joseph, what they could have been saying about Mary, but Mary and Joseph know who they serve, and they knew what the plan was. The angel Gabriel came and told them what the plan was about this birth of Christ. And here they are going on faithfully in their Jewish life of obedience to God. And it's a beautiful thing that they would continue on while even those around them may have spoken against them. And I think of Noah and building the ark while everyone else around watches him building this huge boat for what, who knows what. Well, he was being obedient to what God said, no matter what other people said around him. And that's what we see Mary and Joseph doing, continuing to be obedient to God's word. And they marvel at the things that end up being said about Jesus. They may not fully have a picture of what the plan is here. They may not see the significance of Jesus in its fullness, and perhaps nobody could. Perhaps that was hidden until afterwards, and maybe it's still concealed in some ways until we see Jesus in his full glory. But there was a slow revelation of who Jesus was to Mary and Joseph, and it says that they marveled at these things, and so there was this sense of wonder about this child who would grow and then again be offered as a sacrifice on the cross later. So then we come to Simeon, and Simeon is defined in the Bible here as righteous and devout. And it says that the Holy Spirit was upon him. And there aren't too many men in the Bible that have those kind of descriptors around them. I took the liberty of looking for some of them in the Bible. And Simeon is in really good company. It says in Genesis that Noah was a righteous man, blameless in his generation. It says that Abram believed God and it was counted to him as righteousness. That Moses was a very humble man, that he was a man of God, that Joshua was full of the spirit of wisdom. The angel said to Gideon, "The Lord is with you, mighty man of valor." It says that Boaz was a worthy man. It said that Samuel says that the Lord was with him. And then there's David, a man after God's own heart, where it says the Holy Spirit came powerfully upon him after being anointed by Samuel. And so Simeon here, with those descriptors on him, he's really in good company there with kings and priests from the Old Testament. And so this is not an insignificant man, Simeon. Simeon was highly regarded by God, and in Luke's account here, says that he was righteous and devout. And we may ask the question, how will God define me when we go and meet him, when we are with him? How is he going to define me? And I want it to be like that. I want him to find the right adjectives to put in front of my name that I hope that will be pleasing to him. And it may be something to pray about, to pursue. But here is Simeon, and it says the Holy Spirit was upon him, and something told him that he should go to the temple and see what's happening. So he, led by the Holy Spirit, goes to the temple and sees Mary and Joseph with their son Jesus. And it also says there that Simeon is looking for the consolation of Israel. This was the anticipation of his life. We know that afterwards he says, "I'll be ready to depart." And I wonder if this was more of an elderly gentleman, Simeon, and whether he's just holding on to this promise. Sometimes we can be emotionally or physically down, or we can find it hard to lift our spirits emotionally or physically. But Simeon maintains a spiritual anticipation, and that's a spiritual anticipation for the promises of God. First, he is waiting for the consolation of Israel. So the eternal redemption and salvation of Israel, the nation. And he'll talk later about the Gentiles and the glory of Israel. And so he sees this salvation of that is provided through Jesus. He sees it as something for the whole world, not just for his nation, but for the Gentiles also. And also he has a personal promise of God, where it was revealed to him in a dream that he would not taste death before seeing the Lord's Christ. And that's something where Simeon is very in tune with God's desires for his own personal life. So he understood the global significance of Jesus coming, and he also understands the personal significance of Jesus coming to the world. And may we all ask ourselves this as well. What is the global significance of Jesus today? What is the personal significance of Jesus today to me? What does it mean for me that Jesus has come? And it's something to reflect on this holiday season. Because the Lord makes each of us a personal promise too. He says, believe on the Lord and you shall be saved. And we know that the name of Jesus is the only name by which we may be saved. And so there is a personal promise for each one of us too. And that's worth reflecting on as well. And it's a promise to the Gentiles. It's a promise to the Jews. And Simeon really understood all of this. After giving praise, Simeon then turns to Mary and says, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against, and a sword shall pierce through your own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. And it's a personal challenge. Mary may not quite understand her position, that she would eventually need to bow to her own son as her savior. And Simeon is letting her know. And we know that Jesus, 12 years later, will almost do the same thing, saying, don't you know I needed to be about my father's business when he's lost in Jerusalem, or his parents had lost him at least. And so Mary and Joseph would need to understand eventually that even for them, they would have to bow to Jesus. And really, it's a call to each one of us too, that our lives need to be in submission to Jesus Christ. It's not the other way around. We are to submit to him. I like this phrase of the fall and rising. It speaks of the death and the resurrection. That in order to identify and take the gift of salvation, to receive the gift of salvation, we need to recognize that Jesus died and rose again. And for instance, when we go to be baptized, we identify with his death by going under the water and his rising again by coming out of the water. And that fall and rising is an important concept. Notice that it's not the rise and fall. We often talk about individuals, famous individuals as rising and falling, finding success, and then that success wanes or topples. And entire nations, there's the rise and fall of nations, like the Roman Empire. That's how it works in the world. People will find success. People will bloom like a flower and then fade. But not so with God's promises. God's promises recognize the fallen nature of humanity, that we are sinners, and that for that we receive death. But in Jesus, in believing in Jesus, we rise again. And it's the opposite model. It's falling, recognizing our falling nature, and then rising again for all of eternity. And the world just can't offer that. The world can offer great heights, just like Satan offered to Jesus when he tempted him in the desert, offers him great heights, but from there you can only fall. Whereas what God offers is salvation from brokenness forever. And it's something that the world just can't offer. And once Simeon sees this, he's ready to depart. And I love that word that he uses there too, that it's not a death, but it's a leaving of this world. It's leaving this broken world and a broken body to be with God forever, knowing that he's provided his salvation. Simeon was in tune with God's plan of salvation as it applied to his people, to the world, to himself. He knew what that meant for him eternally, and he knew what it meant for his life here on earth. What does righteous mean but that he follows God's precepts? What does devout mean but that he spends time getting closer to God? As it says in James, draw near to God and he will draw near to you. What does it mean for the Holy Spirit to be upon him, except that if he allows the Holy Spirit to be upon him and invites the Holy Spirit to be upon him? God revealed his plans to Simeon and fulfilled his promises to him in plain sight. And so may we have the same faith of Simeon today. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God, Jesus would go on to say. And Simeon can say that he got to see God on earth. And then we come to Anna. Well, Simeon felt called to go to the temple by the Holy Spirit. Anna was always in the temple, it says. And perhaps Luke is writing hyperbolically, even if he's exaggerating a little bit, that was her identity. That's how people knew her, was that she was always in the temple. This is a woman of either 84 or perhaps 104 years, depending on how you interpret that, those lines there. She was married for 7 years and then widowed after those 7 years, and either was a widow until 84 or was a widow for 84 years. It's not totally clear. But needless to say, she had been a widow for a long time. And where Simeon was known for his attributes, Anna is known for her actions. It says that she was worshiping with fasting and prayer night and day. That's how she's described in the Bible. And she spoke of Jesus to all who were waiting for the redemption of Israel. So again, that's the fall and rising again. That was her calling, was to speak of this Jesus to all who were looking for that redemption. We watched that Charlie Brown Christmas special a couple of days ago, and probably I've seen it 100 times, and probably so have you, maybe not, but you know that one of the main phrases from that short film is good grief. It's said a whole bunch of times, good grief. Charlie Brown says good grief anytime something's going wrong. And that phrase just kind of stuck out to me and stuck with me. And I think of Anna here having experienced some good grief. And I don't mean to be irreverent here, but where Jesus says, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. There is some blessing in the grief that Anna experienced, that her grief allows her to see greater things, namely the redemption of Israel. The fact that she was a widow from a young age, that she was a woman, and that she spent most of her time in the temple would mean that she would be very dependent on God and the goodness of his people to provide for her. And she lived a very hard life. She was very well acquainted with grief. And here she is called, this Anna, who acquainted with grief, she is called to give praise at the presentation of God's Son to the Father. What a privilege. Just as Miriam sang praise when God delivered Israel from Egypt, Anna was chosen to announce the eternal delivery of Israel, even before John the Baptist would go on in the next chapter to announce Jesus. Anna did that when he was 33 days old. And that's Anna's blessing, probably also near the end of her life, that she had this wonderful privilege. What do we learn from these people and these events? What characteristics did they have, and what can we learn as we go into 2021? One, to be open to God and to his plans, like Mary and Joseph were, Simeon listening to the Holy Spirit to go to the temple, believing what God promised to him personally, and Anna coming in and seeing the Lord's salvation and understanding who this was. So to be open to God and to his plans. Two, to spend time abiding in Jesus, to get to know his plans for us personally, for the greater world as well. And this winter time, this deep winter time, is often a time of reflection, that many of us may have vacation from school or work, and it's a great time for us to spend some of that time in reflection and asking God what his plans are for us for 2021. This is the time when people make resolutions for New Year's. Well, perhaps this year we could flip that and ask God, what's your resolution for my life this year? What do you want to accomplish in me this year? And so I'm challenged myself to take some time over the next few days to talk to God about that. And I hope that you can be encouraged to take some time to find out what God's purpose is and his plans for you for this year and for our whole lives are this coming year, 2021. So let's give thanks. Dear Father, we thank you for this year. We thank you for how you have blessed each one of us. And there have been hard times for many people. And so we just thank you that you promise us that those who mourn, they shall be comforted. And we thank you that you have provided Jesus, that he was brought to this earth to save us from our sins, that it's not just to celebrate Christmas, but that he came to the earth to save. And we pray that you would help us to get to know him better these holiday seasons, and also that we could go back to work or go back to school or go back to our daily vocation with renewed spirit to serve you. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Child is this who laid to rest on me? Thank you, Brian. What a great challenge that is for us going into the new year. Instead of making New Year's resolutions, ask God about that. What are His resolutions for my life for this year and for the rest of my life? What are His plans for me? Good. So that's I just want to echo Brian's challenge there for us all to do that in the next few days. It's good to see. I noticed that Heather is at in the hospice with Don, and so that's we just want to remember them both in prayer, and remember Sherilyn and Ian as well, and other people who have really difficult times, health issues and other issues at this time. Just remember them in prayer. There's no Wednesday study again this week. That starts on January the 6th. Next Sunday, we're going to have Mark Robinson, and he's doing a series for the month of January, or for 4 weeks, on Colossians. And then the week after that, we have actually Don's grandson, Kevin, who's a youth pastor, and he's going to be bringing a message to us. So we're looking forward to that as well. And then other people that we've arranged over the next few months, Joe Reese is going to be with us, and Jürgen Schultz, and Daniel Nessum, and other people as well. So that's what we've got ahead in the next few months here, Lord willing. And shall we just close in prayer here? Father, we thank You for the examples of people we have in Your word. We thank You for the fact that You have plans for us. And Father, we ask that we might walk in Your ways, and give us that desire to ask You what Your plans are for our lives. And Father, we just pray for one another. We think of Dawn, think of Heather. Just Lord, be close to them, and just encourage them and strengthen them, bless them. Sherilyn and Ian as well, and others, Father, who have health issues. You know all of our problems. And Father, we know that You hear us when we pray to You. And so, Father, we ask for Your blessing on us. In Jesus' name, amen. I think we can unmute. And just thank you again, Brian.
Andrew, you've been praying for my sister Margaret, and we have some really good news this week. She had a CT scan, and they couldn't find any cancer. The chemo has been working, there was no sign of any cancer. So she's going to be continuing the next 3 more months of chemo just to make sure that they've got it all. But it was really wonderful news. So thank you, everyone that's been praying for her.
Thank you, Ruth, for sharing that with us. And that is wonderful news on Margaret, Ruth's sister, who lives on Vancouver Island. And good. Thank you for letting us know. Good to see the Gauze Lines. How are you doing?
Doing okay. A little bit of sickness in the house, but otherwise, we're doing well, thank you.
Good, good. Good to see you. And Joan, good to see you and Hillary. How was your Christmas down in the Kootenays?
Well, there. Our Christmas was quiet, but good.
Good, good. Good to see you.
Meant to send out cards to everyone to wish them a Merry Christmas, but things got out of hand. Or
that's okay. You can just tell us now. So that's yep. Good.
And Happy New Year to all.
Merry Christmas. Happy New Year.
Love seeing you all and hearing you. And it's been wonderful.
Yeah. That's good.
I guess nobody else is.
Heather, how is Dawn?
There we go. You can't hear, now you can hear me. I took the mask off. I'm not supposed to have it off, but anyway. His nosebleed seems to have stopped this morning for now anyway, which is good because 3 days is a long time to be having massive nosebleeds. They've taken him off the warfarin, and they say it'll take a few days to get out of his system, and then they're going to put him on a different kind of blood thinner. So he's sleeping right now, so I won't put him on TV for you.
Okay, well, we're remembering you in prayer, and it's good to be able to see you there. So
yeah,
thank you for playing the piano this morning. We appreciate you.
Good, thank you.
Jen, that looks like a nice Christmas tree.
Thank you.
John Henderson. What?
Well, Happy New Year's, everyone, and I'm going to say goodbye now.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Happy New Year.
Bye.
Bye. Take care.
Happy New Year to you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thanks, Brian.
Yeah.
Thanks, Brian.
Yeah.
Merry Christmas, everyone.
Merry Christmas. Hi, Sylvia. Yeah.
Happy New Year to you, Doreen.
Hi, Ben Annie. Good to see you.
Good to see you all.
Yes. Okay. Well, we'll say goodbye. See you next week.
See you next week.
Yeah.
After the new year, next year, 2021.
Yeah. Yeah.